They came from near, they came from far, following a distant star from where he lay. Not being sure what it meant, and knowing it was heaven sent, they made their way. And the creatures gathered round and did make a sound, and the angels cried. The angels knew what was to come, the reason God had sent his son from up above. It filled their hearts with joy to see, knowing it was destiny, came tears of love. And the creatures gathered round, did make a sound, and the angels cried. I've often thought about that night, wondered if they realized that star so bright was sent to tell all the land the Son of God would soon become the Son of Man. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried.
Flesh. Lord, but you, I ask for your Spirit to speak this morning to our hearts, that when we leave this place, God, we'll know, Father, that you spoke and not just a man. God, I don't want to just be someone that is used either, but I want to dwell within your presence, Lord. Let your word, Father, just manifest itself to your people. Thank you for each and every heart here. We thank you for this church, Lord, and Lord, the testimonies that we've heard of it, Father. And God, as we've known, Father, you never said it'd be easy, Lord, but you did say that you would take control. And you are in control of this assembly, Father, and we just thank you for it. And we ask that you would continue to bless the pastor here, Father, and the ministry, and all of the help, Father, and every person from the youngest child to the oldest here. Grant them strength, God, to continue the work. And in your name we ask these things. Amen. 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 You can be seated for a few moments this morning. I'd like to ask my wife to come and play the piano for me. And I don't have the words in front, but there's this old song that's been on my heart this morning. And we just want to sing the chorus of it. And if you know it, and if it's on there, you can sing it with me. I wanted to ask, who sang the song, The Angels Crying? Randy. I didn't know you were Randy Travis's relationship. I was sitting back there, I wanted to look out and see if we had a visitor this morning. Amen, I enjoyed that very much, tremendously. And then the song that you sang, the other one, right? The old Aaron and Jeffrey song. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sing that one for years and never have, but that song has always been a blessing to me. Heal me, because I've been through this moment. Jesus be Jesus in me. Yes. We can try that. That's fine. G, whatever's fine. G's fine. We can try that. You know the song, Jesus be Jesus in me. If you don't, just worship. It's just a worship song that we started singing in church. This is my heart's desire. Oh, Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, Lord, but thee. Resurrection power.
Yeah.
heart's your desire this morning for him to be himself through you. I hope I don't bore you with the slow songs this morning, but do you know the song? We can try it. I didn't bring the words, but I clicked on real quick. We'll see if they're the right ones. It's my desire, amen, to live for Jesus. Do you know that old song? It's my desire. If you don't, it's all right. We'll just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. We haven't done this in a while. I can't remember. It's my desire. Feel the presence as we do. Amen. And God is a mighty God, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I just love the Lord with all of my heart. Acts chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading there. Acts chapter 1. We'll just read one verse. But ye shall receive power. Verse number 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We're going to take a thought this morning, the power received. I've been going through a series back at home entitled The Power Received, quite a few different themes. And I believe one of the biggest things that we need today or is failing in a lot of places, if we're not careful, is the understanding of what the Holy Ghost can do, or the power that we receive through the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times we understand, yes, we have, you know, we need the Holy Ghost, we need the Holy Ghost, but what is the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Well, we know the Holy Ghost is Christ in us.
Uh-huh.
But what can that Holy Ghost do? What access do we have with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's, again, it's more than just being a church member or more than having your name on a book. But there's so much in the scripture, and it's going to be very hard for me this morning. I'm just going to, we use this a lot, scratch the surface. We ministers love to use that. But you understand how it is in the Word of God. There's so much in this Word. But so I'm just going to try to just go as the leadership of the Lord is. Again, you shall receive power. This word power in the Greek is dunamis, which is force. Now, Jesus, this as he's speaking through these red letters, and you understand that he's trying to tell them, you're going to get something.
Yeah.
So you're going to receive this force. Now, this force, it also means ability. It is an abundance. There is meaning behind this. It is mighty, mightily. It is mighty indeed. It is a worker of miracles. Worker of miracle or worker of miracles. It is again reiterating the word power. It is reiterating strength, and it is violence.
Yeah.
Now, violence, you think about this, the violent take it by force.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, this is not just the flesh. You know, a lot of times you try to will yourself to pray,
uh-huh.
or you will yourself to do something for God, but when the Holy Spirit is actually something that comes from within, and it is a force to be reckoned with, as it were. It is something that when you come to the altar, you can receive the Holy Ghost in your chair. You can receive the Holy Ghost in your home,
yeah.
wherever it is. You know, it's not limited to this building.
Right.
You know, and it touches my heart to hear when young people or when someone, you know, gets the Holy Ghost in their home. That means that God is working in that home. That means, you know, you can drive down the road and you might be having just a rough day, and all of a sudden a song comes on, or and it just, it talks about maybe the struggle that you're going through. And you could have heard that song 100 times, but that moment was the moment that you needed that specific song, and you feel the presence of God in that car, and you begin to weep. And you know what, when you pull up to a red light, you sure hear everyone else's music, but you know, you've got the power of God in that car, and that car might not be booming, but you're booming.
Right. Right.
You know, there's something about it. They might look at you and wonder what is going on with them. They're crying, and the presence of God is in there. You know, this is all a part of the effect of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To recognize that I don't have to just feel God when I come through those doors. I don't just have to create an atmosphere in this building, but an atmosphere is created in my home. An atmosphere is created at my job. You say, my job? Yes, you are the atmosphere.
Amen.
Let that sink in.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this, and I love this. Our Heavenly Father, they are the trophies of your presence. They know that these words are true because they are yours. They know that they have been given by the Holy Spirit because they are the Word of God. And they have been convinced that they need you, that they need sweetness of the Holy Spirit in their life to give them overcoming power. Notice, they have been convinced. You've heard the sermon, Convinced and Concerned. You see, that is a revelation. If you are not convinced that this is the only way, then it's not concerning to you. This is just another church service. You are just being drugged to church.
But you see, there is a convincing in the body of Christ. There is they are so convinced that this isn't, that no matter what comes their way, no matter what ex comes their way and says, this ain't right, this isn't this, no matter what family says, they know beyond a shadow. I'm not doing it because mama's doing it.
Right.
I'm not doing it because grandpa did it. I'm doing it because I am convinced, brothers and sisters, that this is the only way for rapture. And he says, and they will receive power from on high. Receive the power to live a Christian life. To receive power to overcome temptations. As the song we were just singing, they gathered in their upper room and was praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. That's what they want. They want. Notice Brother Branham's speaking of them. That's what they want. Power for service to come upon them. Let me just tell you, I am not here to convince you. But I want to join with your convincing. You cannot force anybody to serve God. Now, the Bible talks about training up a child. I'm going to bring my children to church every service I go. I'm going to do everything that I can, but they have to make a choice. They have to be convinced that this is the only way. They cannot come off of my Holy Spirit. They cannot get my oil. They must be convinced that they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost themselves. This must be convincing to them. Just as I could not go off of my grandfathers or my parents, I had to be convinced that this was it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12. Chapter 12. I'll get there eventually. Chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. She'll correct me. I gave them all to her. So, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can you say hallelujah? Anyone who believes it can say amen. For my strength is made perfect in... Are we reading the same scripture here? Can you say that word, weakness? He said his strength is made perfect in weakness. Right. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take what? Pleasure in infirmities. Oh, Lord, help us. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. This is understanding, because we have the desire to live. Uh-huh. We have the desire to be right. We don't want to be proven wrong.
Right.
This is human nature. Nobody wants to be outspoken. Right. Nobody wants to be outdone. No one wants to get the wrong answer. I just don't join. I'm not a debater, brothers and sisters. You know, there's people that can debate up. I'm not a debater.
No.
I don't desire to debate.
Right.
In fact, I feel led of my heart, and I spoke with my church, many, and this is me coming from me as a pastor to them. I said, maybe God doesn't want us to debate with the exes. Leave them alone. They've made their choice. Because if you're not careful and if you're not strong, you could be out debated. Ooh, boy, that's a different sermon. We'll let Brother Tony take that a different time. So the Spirit of God comes in many forms. Anointing or characteristics. I want to repeat that. The Spirit of God comes in many forms, anointings or characteristics. We all know it's one God. And we find this, and for instance, and I know this is simple, but just join in with us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. We all know we were taught this from Sunday school up, but the fruit of the Spirit is worse. Is what? You don't know that I was asking you to help me there. Love. Now this word love is agape. Love that is affection or benevolence. Specifically plural. It is a love feast. It is love beyond your comprehension. Now this comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is part of what we receive when we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The next word is joy. I'm not really smart on reading all of the Greek. So some of you are probably Greeksters, but I'm not. Joy. So I'm going to leave that Greek word alone. It means cheerfulness that is calm. It is delight. To be delightful in whatever circumstance comes your way. Oh, that's hard. The next word is peace, which is prosperity. Or one find peace, quietness, and rest. So to be prosperous, no matter what you're going through. To be in rest, to be at rest. We know that the rest that we need is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All right, so again, this is all coming. I want you to understand, if you want to know why we preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, these are characters, these are traits, these are things that come with the Holy Spirit. The word long-suffering, which means forbearance, fortitude, or courage in pain. Long-suffering. To have fortitude, courage in pain, courage through the struggle. Gentleness, which is usefulness that is moral excellence in character or demeanor. Again, being repetition, it is gentleness, it is kindness in moral excellence of character. Then the word goodness is goodness that is virtue or beneficence, that's the word. Beneficence, or which meaning kind-hearted and compassionate. Not just because you're feeling good today to be nice to somebody,
right. But
you're able to do something no matter what's going on. Amen? That is goodness. Faith, which is moral conviction and assurance. You have the utmost assurance that if you were to lay your head to rest tonight and you were to take your final breath, there is no fear because you have faith knowing that God is faithful to get you through.
Right.
And then meekness, which is simply humility, to be humble. Temperance, which is self-control. Self-control, to be able to control desires, as we spoke last night, to bring those desires under subjection. Again, this cannot be done unless this Holy Spirit is within you, helping you to overcome these temptations.
Yeah.
And then we continue in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So we are crucifying. Now let me just say something. This word crucify just becomes simply a scripture or a word that we use and it just becomes common. But crucifixion hurts.
Right.
Crucifixion was one of the most horriblest deaths that somebody could go through, I believe at one time and maybe still today. But to crucify the flesh means you're going to have to hurt yourself in the essence of no flesh. You're not going to do this.
Right.
You know, when you fast, we don't believe in fasting today, but fasting, I believe, is still a part of it. When you fast, it is bringing your flesh under subjection. When you pray, it is crucifying your flesh, right? When you fast, when you pray, when you do all of the things that the Spirit require, it is bringing this old coat under subjection, saying, no, you're not the ruler anymore, but what is the real me is ruling this situation.
Yeah.
If we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit, which is our conduct must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our conduct, our reactions, we don't react the way we used to be. We can no longer claim our German blood.
Right.
Well, that's the reason why I react the way I do is because I'm Irish. Okay? I react the way I do because there's Indian blood in me. Or there's American blood in me. Brothers and sisters, I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we claim that blood, it comes in and we no longer react the way our ancestors react. There's a change within us. Now, how many's ever made a mistake? Oh, wow. Good. A few of you. Again, we'll reach up to some of your perfection. We understand that this is what we receive when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what kind of people should we be, he says here in 54. If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinions, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of church would we be if we were completely embodied and empowered by the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Every one of us.
Right.
You say, well, you know, we will be a unified church once we receive the Holy Spirit. No. The Bible tells us that they were in one mind and one accord before the Holy Spirit fell.
Right.
You see, we can come together and be so hungry for our youth that it doesn't matter what struggles come our way. It doesn't matter how many cracks are in the wall. It doesn't matter how many circumstances are there. It doesn't matter what anyone says. We desire for God to move through this place.
Amen.
How many desires for God to move?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power hath given unto us all that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at this. His divine power, again speaking this word power, hath given unto us all. So he's not limiting the power that we can have. The access to his throne, it's not limited. Oh, please let this sink in. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, if it was just God's will. It's God's will.
Amen.
Whereby he hath given to us great and exceeding promises. Oh, you know, I just don't know. That old devil's nothing.
Yeah.
God has given to us great and exceeding promises.
Amen.
That by these you might be partakers of the what? The nature? The divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, so we have escaped those things.
Right.
Oh, I had to let them go. No, I escaped them.
Right.
They no longer have clutches on my mind.
Right.
They are no longer clutched on my body. Yes, the temptations may come our way. Let me just tell you something, that Christ himself faced every demon that you and I would face.
Right.
And I want to just tell you something, every demon. He had to face every one of them. He can't be, he's not surprised. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe Brother Tim made it to church this morning. That's not God, God knows. He's not surprised. Every demon he was able to put in its place while he was on this earth.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Or say, well, what about this demon? I hear you, I hear your thoughts. What about this demon? What about, let me just say, there's not one demon that was not put in its place while Christ was on this earth.
Yeah.
He had to face every single one of them. That did not mean that he was tempted to partake of that demon, but he had to face them to put them in their place for you. So now you have the same access that he has. Whatever temptation comes your way, it is not something that you have to will yourself, but you have the same power of Christ to be able to grab that demon by the throat and put it in its place. A lot of times we get discouraged because we face the temptations. No, face that temptation. Put that temptation in its place and move on.
Amen.
When Christ faced Satan that day, everything that he did was pointed right back to the Word. And what did he do? He moved on.
Yeah.
He went to do what he needed to do. Don't sit in the molly grubs. Move on. Put the demon in its place and move forward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we are partakers of this divine nature, having escaped this corruption. Praise God that I escaped it. And beside this, giving all diligence. Again, here are traits, here are characteristics of God through the Holy Ghost. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, temperance, patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. We know what these are. We've heard these. We know this as being the stature of a perfect man. But a lot of times we just look at it as a picture. But actually, this is our life. This is what we need. These are things that are given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that, oh, we got to go here, that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall, never fall.
Right.
Wow, what a profound statement. Never fall. Let me just say that there's an old song. I may lose a battle now and then, but I've already won the war.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, in Christ, we sing the song, it's already done. How many's ever sang the song or been in the middle of the song singing, it's already done. I'm already healed in the process of your in pain.
Yeah.
And it's so, I'm already healed. And you're just like, oh man, what is this? You are claiming what is yours.
Right.
So the power, as we have seen, comes in so many characteristics. You know, the Pentecostals, they used to, they got to a point when they denominated that it was solely focused on tongues. And let me just say, that's what they thought was the initial evidence. We know that's not the initial evidence, but it's another characteristic, it's another part of what comes, of fire moving, going through the church, the gifts of healing or the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving through a church. They should be active in a church, but it is not the initial evidence. Neither is a love an initial evidence. You say, well, love is the greatest thing. We'll get to that here shortly. Now, I want to try to get to this point here this morning. God has sent out anointings for his bride. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you still with us this morning?
Amen.
So often, and I want to delve into the aspect of healing this morning. So often people push the miracle channel only. However, God has given multiple means of power. This requires faith. Now, Hebrews 11:13 says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, we know what the scripture is. This faith scripture is talking about all of the Old Testament, you know, the saints and so on, and what they did, and continues on through the scriptures. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, notice this. Did their death show any means of less faith?
No.
Did them dying by the sword or dying by the lions show any lack of faith?
No.
No, other than that, the scriptures would be false. We must not deny the power that he uses and the forms that God uses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the church. No, be strong in the prophet. No, what does it say? You are free to help me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells me that things are going to come my way. And that I must put on the armor of God. I must admit that my weakness is great. And that I cannot withstand the enemy by myself. That I must put on the armor of God. This does not come through just a sermon.
Right.
This does not just come through Sunday school. But this comes through receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, today I just choose to wear the helmet of salvation. So where do you think that Satan's going to hit there?
Right.
You guys got any Kleenexes up here or towels? I go through cabinets sometimes. Hey, hallelujah. Every time I forget my hankers. So we find as Satan comes, you put on the helmet of salvation today because that's all you feel like doing when you got up that morning. So Satan's going to go for the torso. Right? Well, I don't think I need my sword today. I don't need the word today. So you're going to be attacked by that. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God because there is a warfare that we are going to be in.
That's right.
Now we see this in Revelation chapter 4. Now, this is what I want to get to because we're dealing with the different forms and powers that God has given to you and I today to be able to combat everything. So Revelation chapter 4, verse number 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. What a worship service. Amen. So we find Brother Branham saying here in the fifth seal in 63, says, and there was four living creatures of God to announce the rider as they rode. How many can say amen? We're taught this. This is the message that we're living in. Amen. Four beasts are four powers. Okay. Now we know that beast by interpretation of the terms of the Bible symbols means power. Right? Now let's get that close. The four are beasts in the Bible represents a power among the people.
Right.
A lot of times we just tend to look at this, if we're not careful, and we begin to get into a position where we think to ourselves, well, you know, the first beast was for that age, or that, you know, going through that time, and we deal with the lion as only there. But no, he said, these are beasts that are given to work among the people. And not just something that was just for then. Just brothers and sisters, we need everything from today all the way back till when the power of God fell. We need everything. We can't leave anything out. So these powers we see vividly were given and announced the opening of the first four seals. However, these anointings were much more than for a limited time, but are a power and channel for God to use. Please bear with us this morning. Brother Branham says, was quoting to a man today that had kind of a thought. He had trusted the Lord for his healing, and he had failed to receive his healing. And then he became discouraged and said, if I haven't got enough faith to be healed, maybe I haven't enough faith to be saved. I told him, I said, the basis of divine healing is not on the same level as on salvation. Divine healing is something that was thrown in to the believer. But salvation, when you receive Christ and are born again, you have an immortal life that cannot perish or get old. It can never die. It's just finished forever when you're born of the Spirit of God. But this body, it gets sick and weak. And God helps us and heals us. And we get sick again. How many's ever been there?
Right.
You fought the flu 1 year, 2 years later you fight the flu again.
Right.
Could fight it every year. Does that make God any less God?
No,
we're trying to prove a point here. This is this old coat that we're living in. This is this fleshly body. It gets sick and it gets weak again. It gets sick again. And God helps us and heals us and we get sick again. And it's just temporarily until the journey is finished. But salvation is permanent forever. Amen. That doesn't fail. So I want you to understand, and I want to encourage you this morning, church, that we will go through things, and at times we must be smitten.
Yeah.
And again, reading this, and now in order for this to speak, he is the Word, and for the Word to speak, he must come into the image. And then for the image to speak, it's got to be smitten. The Word living and in action, the Bible bride, not some man-made bride, the Bible bride smitten and afflicted of God. No beauty we should desire her, but yet we did esteem her smitten and afflicted of God. That's right, she stands alone. So you must go through trials, you must go through sickness, and even death can be in the church. Death may happen, but it's not the end as we know of a believer. Now, these beasts have different faces and is an aspect of the same Holy Spirit and his power for deliverance. I want to say this again. Four different beasts, right? Different faces. Different aspects or characteristics, but the same power of God. But they come and they mean something different. They're there to help combat through whatever trial you're going through at the time or whatever way God will deliver you. You can be delivered differently, but it should not change the fact of the faith that you have in him. Now, as we pray, so you say you had needs this morning, and your needs, whatever the needs were, we prayed to God and we asked God to come in and meet those needs. So as we recognize this prayer that we prayed this morning, we recognize the needs that were mentioned. As we pray, God looks our way with a facet of deliverance. Now, what facet is he going to look? What power is he going to give us? One facet may be the facet of the lion. The lion represents the power of that first move of God, literally unstoppable. This empowers the faith with boldness. You've already had faith, but then all of a sudden there's a boldness that strikes into your heart, and you have, as it were, a bulldog faith.
Amen.
This bulldog faith is a faith that ain't pretty. And it ain't easy. It certainly ain't a gimmick. It's the type of faith that clamps down on the desired result and won't let go come hell or high water. A person doesn't have to be holy to have bulldog faith. They just have to have the will to fight through to the end, ignoring everything else, convinced that the prize will be theirs if they just don't let go. Now I want you to understand, this is a facet that God can use. Maybe you have been affected at one time by bulldog faith. A need was delivered to you, and all of a sudden the power of God just hit you, and you grabbed a hold of your prayer, and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt you wasn't going to let go of that until God met that need. That was the power of that lion anointing. One example of this of faith would be Jacob. Hosea chapter 12, 3 through 5 says, "And he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." He wrestled with that angel. We find in Genesis 32, 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Bulldog faith. Faith of a lion. That was the anointing that Jacob had to have at that point. That was the anointing. You say, the beasts weren't effective at that time. Let me just say something. The power of God has been the same from the beginning. We just see it manifest, and we begin to understand the type of faith that David had. We begin to understand the type of faith that Jacob had. We begin to understand the type of faith that Job had. So we find this is the type or the anointing of that first beast. God comes into you, church, and all of a sudden you have bulldog faith, and you will not let go until you receive. What if today's prayer, and God looks at you with another facet, another beast was the face of a man? This is still God healing, but he uses the intelligence of man, surgeons or medicine. You say, "Well, I don't believe in those things." Brother Branham did. Right. But you see, what if that is what God wants to use? The Bible says in Psalms 103:3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." So let me just say, man's not the one doing it, but God uses man.
Right.
How many's ever been through surgery before?
Amen.
A couple of you? I have. Well, did that mean you had any less faith? Come on. We didn't have any less faith, but God decided. He looked at us with that anointing. And so we then used the intelligence of man to be able to, and God used that. Now, man can't heal. God heals, but he will use man to do so. And so when that happens, Brother Brandon says, we believe that doctors help people. I believe that God heals by medicine. God heals by surgery. God heals by understanding. God heals by love. Just a little love goes a long way. Let somebody be all upset and just show them you care for them. See? God heals by love. God heals by prayer. God heals by miracles. God heals by his word. God heals by whatever source it is. God heals by it. You see, a lot of times people only go to the miracle channel. And if it doesn't happen the way by a miracle, we think we have a lack of faith. But you see, God sometimes wants you to have bulldog faith. Amen? God sometimes wants you to go through the doctors. And you go through the process. But we know doctors don't heal. But God uses them to do what they need to do to correct something. But the healing comes from God ultimately. But we must have faith in God that if God desires me to go have surgery for some need, then I'm praying, God, you guide the hands of that surgeon to help and protect me. Or this individual, whatever it is, God, let me just have faith. I will not lose my faith in you because you did not heal me in a prayer line. I will use my faith, recognizing that God, if you desire me to have bulldog faith, or if you desire me to go through the face or go to a surgeon, God, I trust that it's your plan.
Amen.
If for some reason the ox beast faces your direction, this is death. But God heals in death. This healing simply takes place in another dimension. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This speaks of this dimension. This only works for a believer. And I wanted to say this. This is not any less of a miracle than the lion of faith or the cunningness of man or the eagle. It's the same power of God. But God then anoints you for what is about to take place. I have seen people on their deathbed who were believers. I've seen my grandmother who lived, in my opinion, was the closest to God that I've ever seen any woman in my life. My grandmother. And when it come time for her, we gathered around her bed in that hospice and we sang some songs. And there was nothing like a peace that we seen when she gave her last breath. She smiled at the very last moment, as far as I recall. The nurses themselves said they've never seen anything like it. Now God looked to her through the anointing of the ox. She had to face that death. You say, I don't believe it. How did those people, Matthew, face it in the days when they were thrown before the lions?
Right.
They had to have that anointing on them to be able to face death. Right. But them, that didn't give them any less faith, Brother Tony, than someone who received life.
Right.
It was still the anointing of God. Yeah. A lot of times we look at it as, and it is hard and it is discouraging, but you know, death to a believer is freedom.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's freedom. It's a way to that glorious place. But you know, if God uses it, and somebody goes, they had no less faith than someone who had bulldog faith.
Right.
It was just the dimension, or it was just the avenue that God chose to go through at that time. You still with me this morning?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. 54 through 55. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, to a believer, death is just a door.
Yeah.
But God has to give that anointing, not only to the individual, but also to families around, because we have all been touched by death in the essence of we've seen a family member go. I trust that what we've seen go are those who are serving God, but I do know of people who have went not serving God, and it's a completely different story than what I'm talking about. That's why you must make your calling and election sure, church, because you don't know when it's your time. But you see, that facet that God uses, it's still a part of God's plan, and it's no lesser of faith than the ox. It's no less of faith than the face of man. It's just a facet that God wants to use. The flying eagle is the next one. This anointing, when God looks to you, so the prayer was prayed this morning. We prayed for the needs. God looks to us with the facet of the flying eagle. This anointing picks you up and lifts you quickly, almost like a rapture. One moment you're deathly ill or very sick, and the next you have no sign or symptom. I have a testimony of that with my little girl. My baby girl who's back there, name's Evelyn. She's, what, a year now? A year and a month. And probably was it 3 or 4 months before she was supposed to be born, if I get that correct. Always looking back at her, because you know the whys. They know the timings of everything. There you go. 20 weeks away from birth or in birth? Okay, what she said. Anyways, you'll understand the importance of the date. And so it was a Sunday afternoon, and long before she was supposed to be born, my wife's water breaks. We go up to the hospital and trying to figure out actually what it is. We didn't know what that's what it was at first. And as they begin the tests, the first test showed positive for the fluid. And when we first got there, they kind of were annoyed that we were there, as if, what are we doing here? And then they begin to test and begin to realize what is going on. And their attitudes, the nurses and doctors' attitudes, begin to change toward us. They became soft towards us. Especially after they did the second test and it was positive of the fluid. They became very soft and they began to talk to us about preparing us for the inevitable. That we're going to lose our child tonight. And as they begin to prepare us and they begin to talk, and I'll just be honest with you, I remember standing there and I was really in a daze, not understanding so much what is going on. And then I just begin to just kind of pray within myself. And they told us, in 30 minutes we're going to come back and we're going to perform one more test. And And then that's probably going to decide everything. And we begin to pray, my wife and I sent out texts across the United States to some churches and places in our area. We began to get texts back of things that were, God was moving, prophecy that came forth in Virginia and another home in our area, and other texts around of God moving. And in 30 minutes, they came back and they performed that test, and that test was completely dry. No liquid whatsoever. Amen. No, well, I mean, not one. They were, again, completely shocked. Yeah. Completely changing their reaction. This can't be. This is not the way it's supposed to be. We need to check the fluid. So they go and they check the fluid, and the fluid amount around the baby was perfect. Yeah. Not only had God sealed it up, but the fluid was inside was perfect. You see, at that moment, God looked upon us with the facet of the flying eagle. And a miracle had happened in my wife's womb. A miracle of healing. But how can I explain? So another couple in my church who you know, who was driving to church, their first child. And right before, we're talking by the time of driving, 5 seconds from our church, somebody runs a stop sign and hits them, and the baby dies in the womb. How can we describe this? We can only describe it as God looking down with the facet of the ox. Right. And God giving them the ability, though no matter how hard it was and how much of a struggle it was, the only thing that has held them in church today is God's anointing power. That's the only thing that gave them the strength to be able to overcome that horrible death.
Right.
Was that anointing that God was able to give through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you see, we look at it and we think, oh, maybe they did something wrong. That's not the case. They didn't do anything wrong back in the Colosseum days.
Right.
It was what they had to go through. It was their testimony. And you have a testimony. Some of your testimonies are miracles. Some of your testimonies are death. Some of your testimonies are doctors. Some of your testimonies, but whatever it is, it all goes back to God.
Amen.
He's the one that gives you the strength. And it is the power that you and I receive through the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be able to say, no matter what has come my way, it's all the anointing of God.
Amen.
Who through faith, Hebrews 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Some stopped them, Brother Tony. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. These are testimonies. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in faith. Turned to flight armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. That they might attain a better resurrection. Let me tell you, there was no change, Brother Tony, in their faith.
Right.
There was no change in God's word.
Amen.
But they all were received the same promise. They were all given the anointing to be able to overcome whatever test or trial there was. You look across the church and you say, oh, no one knows my trials. There is a God who knows what you're going through. And if you just receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is an anointing that gets you through whatever it is you're going through. Not accepting deliverance so they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Oh, Paul and Silas, right? In prison. Oh, Brother Daniel, lack of faith, man. They ended up in prison. No, that's where God wanted them to be.
Man.
There was a jailer that needed to get a hold of God.
Yep.
They had to go to prison so that jailer could be saved. And what did they do? Oh, they sit there and murmured and complained because no one was coming to save them. No one cares about us. We're all alone here in this prison. Oh, boo-hoo. No, the Bible says they begin to worship and praise God. And all of a sudden the walls begin to shake.
Uh-huh.
What was it? It was a testimony that they had to go through to recognize that God was on their side. And God had to get to a jailer. Amen. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Who is this talking about? The children of God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. You're not alone.
Amen.
Be encouraged. You're not alone. We have a great cloud of witnesses. You've never been stoned. Yes, you have mentally. Boy, they're throwing it at you on Facebook all the time. Those who have it. Throwing it at you. They're throwing it at you on this and they're throwing it at you. Your family members throwing it against you. Throwing it. You're receiving it. The greatest battle ever fought's in your mind. But God has given a power to overcome it. And we can have all of them put together. Of whom the world was not worthy. They're not worthy of you. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why? Because they had to wait on somebody. Who was it?
Right.
Waiting on us to finally catch a glimpse of who we are in Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, who we are in Christ. Again, all of the facets are for His bride. One is not greater than the other. But it was the anointing needed for each age and each portion of our lives. And the power is ours for the taking. Brother Branham says the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position.
Yeah.
It will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. When what knows what it is? When the church recognizes who she is. And we're not talking about some church, but this church is the bride. When she recognizes who she is, recognize that you're just not a doormat, as we said last night.
Right.
You're not just sitting on the outside of the door waiting on God to call you, but no, He's giving you complete access to the throne room.
Yeah.
He's giving you complete access to all of His gifts. Yeah. He's giving you complete access to the checkbook.
Right.
I think I heard Brother Tony say that the other day about the checkbook. Uh-huh. And I love that. Hallelujah. Guess what? I even can sign my name now on that check. Mrs. Right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What is it? We are one. We are together. I am of Him. He is of me. We are together. When He speaks, I speak. We are the same words.
Right.
Oh, Brother Jeremy, what about the crippled in the church? What facet God has looked at them, God gives them an anointing to be able to go through whatever trial it is. Some people's testings are sickness and pain. Some people's testings are financial. Some people's testings are mental.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever it is, don't look down on anybody.
Amen.
If anyone ever has the attitude of, oh, bless God, they need more faith, you need to get to an altar.
Amen.
Because what we need to do is to not put someone down because they're not where you think they should be. But we must encourage them and say, let's get the anointing of God together. Let's let it work in the church. I do not believe that we should sit in a church and just be content with someone being a cripple.
Right.
But what we should do is always know that if God wants me to be healed today, I'm going to be healed today. Yeah. If it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. Besides, what is healing any different than salvation? Somebody comes to the altar and they say to them, they say to the minister or to the church, I want salvation. Now what do you do when you do? You begin to pray right then and there. God save their soul. God heal, or God save them right now. Take them from the clutches of Satan, right? Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you all stand and pray? Maybe somebody you've been praying for, they come through that door and they come up here. What would you all do? Get up and come and pray around them that they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right?
Yeah.
But then someone comes who's been in a wheelchair for a long time. They come and they say, I want healing. If we're not careful, our prayer is, oh God, Lord, if it just be thy will. Mm-hmm. Now, it's nothing wrong with saying if it be thy will if we say it in the right manner. But what changes from saying, save them, to saying, God, heal them?
Amen.
There's no difference. Can you say amen?
Amen?
There's no difference. We should have no difference of faith from salvation to healing.
Right.
No matter what the circumstances is, they could have been born with a sickness of the mind. They could have been born with some problem where they can't speak. But God can come and heal them right now. Whatever it is, the same thing with you. And God, you could be in this church all your life and not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Does that make any difference if God calls you right now? Would you want to come and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why would you want it? Because you want a power? No, because you love God so much and all of these things come with it.
Amen.
Again, I've scratched the surface this morning. I don't want to take any more of your time, but I hope that I've encouraged you to understand something. That whatever it is that you're going to go through, God has a power and an anointing for you to be able to withstand whatever test or trial comes your way. Whatever sickness it may be or whatever battle it may be of the mind, God can help you overcome it. But you have to be completely surrendered to Him. Let me just tell you this now. You can't do it on your own. There's nothing you can do. You cannot try and try. How many's ever just said, Lord, I'm trying? I know my kids say that. Oh, I'm trying. Eventually, you do. I remember, Brother Daniel, when I used to say, I'm trying to serve God. Realized I wasn't trying at all because I can't, Brother Tony, try. I just got to give my life to Him. Well, I'll come to God, but I need to get some things straight. I've heard that before. I got to get some things in line. No, you can't get anything in line. You just come to God as you are. You see, that's what that really means. Come to God as you are. See, the ecumenical world takes that and twists it in a different manner. We can be like we are. Come as you are. Just be the signal. Come as you are. But when you come to God, you're going to be changed.
Yeah.
Let me just say, everyone that comes to Jesus has to make a decision.
Yeah.
You cannot face God and not make a choice.
Right.
You must make a choice this morning. Let's bow our heads. Musicians can come. I don't know what trials you're going through, church. I don't know the struggles that you have had to face. But this one thing that I know, that no matter what, though you might not have known what it was, there was always an anointing through the Holy Spirit to be able to help you through whatever test that you were going through. Can we testify of that this morning?
Amen.
God has always been there.
Amen.
Even when it didn't seem like He was there through some facet of some anointing. We were going through something and we needed long suffering. We didn't have to conjure long suffering up. All of a sudden, it just came from within. We didn't have to conjure anything up. It just came forward. And that's the way I want you to look at it this morning. God has a way. In fact, He knows tomorrow exactly what you're going to face and what you're going to go through. That's the God that I serve. He is an all-knowing God. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. He is everything that we need. So this morning I ask you, are you going through something? And you just want a touch from the Lord. You don't have to tell me what it is. You don't have to say, this is the situation I'm going through, but God knows. Would you just lift your hand to the Lord this morning and just say, Lord, I have a need. And only You know what it is. Maybe He spoke to you this morning through the sermon, and I don't know. But I know that God is here this morning. And He has an anointing for you and a power for you that you need. Something that will help you overcome whatever battle it is in your life. If someone tells you that if you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be A-okay. Let me just say, brothers and sisters, they lied to you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a ticket from battle. It is only your certificate of a soldier. A true soldier will not, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but it's not going to be all caught up in the things of this life. It's hard to be a soldier sometimes. As a song was sung this morning, heal me. Maybe we need that healing this morning. Healing of the mind, of the heart. And only God can heal you this morning. Would you stand with me if you're well and able in body, and let's just talk to the only one that can heal. I can't do it. But I have faith enough this morning to know that whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your heart, that God knows. And He is utmost, most definitely here this morning to meet your need. And if He looks at you this morning with the facet of the ox, or the facet of the eagle, or the facet of the face of a man or of the lion. Everyone is of the same faith, the same power of God. And I choose to just say, Lord, that's Your will for me this morning. Would you just surrender? Would you lift your hands to Him as we pray? Heavenly Father, we lift our hands to You.
as the evening sacrifice this morning. Complete surrender. It's a sign of surrender to you, Lord, this morning that I'm not in control. I recognize that now. I am not in control, Lord. You are in control. And Lord, you know the hearts of your beloved this morning as they sit and stand before me, oh God. You know the hearts. And you know the struggles and the battles that they face. They could be the cleanest person, but they're human and they face torments and trials that we don't even understand. But I pray for that you, that holy power to come and begin to sweep through this place, Lord. Begin to touch them. God, if there's someone that's not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, may they come and get it, I pray. May they be so hungry for you, oh God. May we be salty, Lord, that they desire this anointing. They desire. This is the token. This is our only way for a rapture. We surrender everything to you, Lord. Every heart, every mind we give to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name. fellowship tremendously. Just covet your prayers for our church as we continue to pray for your church as well. Amen. To one glorious day when we won't have to say goodbye.
Amen.
Amen. One glorious day we don't have to preach another sermon, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
Amen. Because it'll be the last one. One more sermon, brothers. One more song. And it'll be over. And I just cannot wait till that day comes.
Amen.
I'm going to sing a song as we'll turn to them. What song would we do that? I'm on my way to heaven. You remember the key on that one? G. That's what I was thinking. Hallelujah. It's a little bit faster of a song. We'll end my sermon with this now. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. You know, the devil can't do me no harm. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. You know, the devil can't do me no harm.
Here we go.
Well, I remember the day that I found him, and I remember the day I made the start, and I remember the day that I knelt at the altar, and he saved all this old boy's heart. Yes, I'm sanctified.
Said the other day, you know, I go into work and they have on all the doors, they got the thing there that says no weapons allowed, and every time I reach for that door handle, I see that, and
yeah.
I think no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. So that's right.
Yeah.
Satan can't do you no harm. Once you're in that fold, you know you're in there. But predestination, you know, God had you there. But once you know you're there, then, you know, it's a lot different. It's a lot different attitude. What makes relationships work, friendships work? Now stop and think about it. He talked about that this morning. But does arrogance fit in there? Betrayal?
No.
See what I mean? Mistrust? Those things don't make our relationships work. The same thing that makes a good relationship work between a man and a woman, or between two people, the same thing works between you and God.
Right.
And so I was sitting back there writing down different words that come to mind while he was ministering. I'm going to just read them to you. He went through some of them on the board. But these are things that's what a relationship is all about, how it works. So I'm going to just read these. Humility, obedience. You know, there's a certain obedience you have to have to your partner.
Right.
Right? Like you do to God. Right. Obedience, forgiveness. love, simplicity. Amen. If we didn't have the kind of love we had for each other this morning, we couldn't have the good time we right. have. See?
Right.
And when we mess up as a song leader and get the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or whatever, it wouldn't work. See, but it's our relationship that carries us through those little things like that. It right. becomes a wonderful experience. So simplicity, trust, burden sharing, commitment, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. We've seen the scriptures there. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. All of those are words that, when you look at them, they're what makes a relationship work.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And so that's what our brother's speaking on this morning, that these things, God can exhibit all these things in our lives, and no matter what comes your way, you can. He will anoint you to go through what you have to do. And sometimes it's miraculous, and sometimes you have to be the ox.
Yes.
And so we've all seen that. Most of us have been around long enough to see different times in our life that it's like that.
Yes.
But anything that gets in the way between you and God is a problem.
That's right.
Right? And so anything that gets in the way that causes you not to exhibit patience and meekness and kindness. Brother Branham said, an arrogant spirit is not of God.
That's right.
See what I mean? So anything that comes along and makes you act contrary to all these things we named off, you know that's not from God.
Yeah.
See? Mistrust. And so, you know, we're all our stewards of our own walk. Yeah. We're supposed to look and examine ourselves. And when we see things exhibited in our own experience that does not meet the word, that doesn't, then obviously you can, sometimes it's just the fruit of it. You may not realize it up front, but just the fruit of what we've done or what we said shows you where it come from. And so we certainly want to do that. But anything that gets in the way, it's like me as a minister. If I was standing up here and tell you that in order for you to get to God, you got to go through me, you know I'm wrong.
That's it.
If I stood up here and told you had to go through Brother Branham to get to God, you know I'm wrong.
Right.
Right? See? And yet God uses ministry there to tell you. Now, I will tell you, I might stand between you and the world. I'm not going to try and stand between you and God.
That's right.
But I probably will try to stand every which way I can between you and the world.
Amen.
Unless you just push me out of the way and go on anyway. You see what I mean? But I'll never stand between you and God. I'll always say, here's the way, and there he is, and I'll encourage you.
Yeah.
See? And so same thing, when something rises up in your walk and you see that it's causing a problem and not letting the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life, you know that it's something trying to get between you and God.
Yeah.
And when it gets between you and God, it gets between you and your mate or you and your family and your children, your friends, your brothers and sisters. See? So we want to be good stewards of our own walk and examine these things daily to test the fruit of it, because the fruit of the Spirit is these things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be educated whatsoever. You don't even have to know right hand from left to know when something hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When somebody's done you wrong and it hurts, right? And that most of you probably have done something where you have sacrificed for somebody else, and though it was hard to do, afterwards there was a peace that come to you because of the sacrifice that you made. We've experienced those things. And so that's why I've said so many times that a life lived to themselves is a wasted life. You know, it's wasted. We live for each other. We share with each other. And we're going to spend eternity with each other. Amen. So I want to thank the Lord for having our brother come this way. And God's timing is perfect all the time. Just wonderful. And so, me personally, I've been refreshed, brother, with our fellowship, with the services. I don't know. The Lord just had something for me this week. I've gone through some battles myself recently. And so I appreciate what God has done, and I know that several of you have been really blessed, probably all of you, but I've heard some of you say that it was really good. So we want to just thank the Lord for that. And ask God to give our brother back, him and his family, all that they put in. And I hope this is not offensive to our brother, but I'm going to tell you, most of you know that we had him come over here to do a building inspection, what he does, I guess, for a living. He does inspections, so like when somebody wants to buy property, they can have him come in and he'll figure out what was wrong with it. And so we actually had this brother come over here and do an inspection so we can have a total account of what we need to address and the issues that we have with this property and the building. And that doesn't come cheap. You know, those guys have to, they're a somebody who does a job of labor is worthy of his hire, you know, so whether he's a minister or in the secular world. So, you know, we asked the brother what his fee was, and we insisted as a church to pay him his fee. And but he has left me a note back there stating that he desires to knock that fee way down, more than half, more than half the price off. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And, you know, you could say, well, we'll put a rose on somebody's grave after they're gone or whatever. But while the brother's here, I wanted to tell you that he has felt on his heart to bless us and knock more than half of that fee off, which makes it very, very nice for us as a church, which that's quite a blessing for us. So anyway, so thank you, brother. We're going to give God the praise. Amen. Never cease to amaze me. God's still doing things, you know. And he said a while ago, it doesn't come. He didn't promise it would be easy, but he's still doing stuff. And so God encourages you to keep plowing, you know, keep believing, keep pressing. We've all got family that we'd like to see in the house of God.
Yes.
And I don't really just to see them in the house of God, but to see them in the house of God, in that body of Christ. And, you know, that's not going to happen. We're not going to affect them if we compromise, right? If we let down the bar, we just got to continue pressing on and being everything that we know that God has told us in his word to be the best we can at that, and believe that one of these days, between now and body change time, these loved ones and different ones that we've prayed for and longed for, that God will bring them in. And probably each of you have this situation, but I have different people, and some of them in my family that I've talked to, and I know the Holy Spirit dealing with their heart. Some of them you talk to, and it's just whatever. But you know that there are certain ones that God, they belong to God. You know, years ago, I don't mean to linger, but I used to work with a man, and he wasn't a very good Christian man or anything like at the time, but we separated. He went to a different job, and he was older. He's probably well gone long ago. His name was Doug Smith. And so after he's long gone, you know, and hadn't seen him for a while, and I got married. And one day I was helping my father work on his rent house there beside him, and he sent me with my mother-in-law to Yeager's to get some stuff. And so for the rental property. We went in there, and I'm coming around a corner, and voila, there he is. There's this guy I used to work with, and he's different. He's different. And he said, "How you doing?" You know, and he starts talking to me, and he had this sparkle in his eye, which is, you know, and I could tell this man, there's something happened to him. And, you know, here I am, a sinner. I'm no more Christian than anything, you know. And he looks at me, and he's just got this smile on his face like he could see something and knew something. And he just looked at me and kind of, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, kind of, you know, how if you're not a Christian, you're kind of not very comfortable when somebody, and so I'm fumbling around just trying, yeah, I'm married now, you know, that. And he's just kind of almost like he's, you know, looking at something. And he said, "Are you a Christian? Do you go to church?" Or something like that. And I'm you know, and he just says, "He'll get you. He'll get you." What does he know? But he could see something, and the Lord was showing him. He said, "He'll get you." So, you know what? Sometimes you know things about people when you're witnessing. You know they're coming, right? So I said all that to say this, that we want to just keep pressing on and prepare. Prepare the fields, amen, for the harvest that God will bring. And just believe him for that, amen. Amen. So God bless you. We're going to sing this song here as that on the screen, but I just want to thank the Lord again for what he's done this weekend. Amen. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.